Go with me, please, to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. We are beginning a new series today. But we're still talking about praying. It's a follow-up series to teach us to pray. Now, if you haven't been with us and you didn't hear the previous series, Teach Us to Pray is the name of it, and there are 12 messages in that. Go online, and it's there to watch or to hear, or to download, no cost, no charge. And the reason I say that is because we're building now what we're doing on that. It would help you. You get more out of what's going now if you hear that. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Ephesians 6 and 10. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." That's not just being strong in yourself. Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, he's about to describe in detail the armor of God. Don't only focus on the physical. He uses different pieces of what was the soldier of that time's armor. But don't only focus on that. That's just a graphic picture of the spiritual thing. Amen. And how it works. So when he says put on the whole armor of God, what's the purpose of it? Why? Why do we need to put on the whole armor of God? Huh? Read the rest of the verse. Huh? So you can resist or stand against or not be overcome by what? This is something a lot of folks miss. The wiles of the devil. That's how he destroys people, through deception and trickery, through causing people to believe lies. So let me go over this again slowly. What's the protection against? Trickery, lies, deception. And you'll see the first piece of armor he mentions is truth, which is the big protection from a lie. If you know the truth, right, then you'll recognize that the lie is not true. If you don't know the truth, you're easy to fool. You're easy to deceive, which is why everybody at Faith Life Church reads their chapter
every day.
Yeah. You need to get the truth in you, or otherwise you're easy pickings for the enemy. You're easy to trip up, easy to mislead, easy to deceive. You know, when Jesus was attacked intensely by the devil for 40 days and nights in the wilderness, how did he protect himself? How did he deal with that? How was he not fooled and tricked and overcome? Everything that the enemy hit him with, he responded with, "It is written." And Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Hallelujah. He responded with truth. And the truth stopped the lie in his tracks. Amen. And was not effective on him. Well, what if he didn't know what was written? Then you're unarmed. Right? If you don't know any truth, then you are naked, unarmed. You understand what I'm saying? Anything that hits you is going to penetrate you. Huh? And you got no offensive weapon. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God, which is the Word of truth. So keep reading. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. Another scripture said, we are not ignorant of his devices. So it's very important to be clear on this thing. You're not waiting till you feel something spooky, or you have a vision and see a being with horns in a red suit. The devil's M.O. is that his favorite thing is that you don't even believe there's a devil. And he transforms himself into an angel of light, the scripture said. One of his favorite things is to convince people that the thing he is telling them is actually from God. There's never been a more religious being. He knows all the language. And if you don't know the scriptures, and how many understand when Jesus kept responding, it is written, it is written. And then the enemy quoted some scripture.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes. And what did Jesus say? It is also. So you need to know enough scripture that you can rightly divide. Rightly divide the word of truth and say, oh no, now you're quoting that wrong and you're misapplying it wrong because these three other scriptures say this.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
And so if you don't know that, well, you can still be tricked. But the thing that we should be armored up against is lies.
Yes.
Deception. Trickery. And the devil has been deceiving and fooling and misleading and destroying human beings for thousands of years. He and his cohorts are really accomplished at it. Very tricky doesn't fully say it. And a lot of times he'll have somebody going a certain way and he knows they're going to figure it out, but it's going to be too late. He'll work on people for 20 years to get them into a place of confusion and deception. Which is why everybody at Faith Life Church reads that chapter every day, Monday through Friday. And you come to church and you hear teaching and preaching. Not just somebody's opinion, but the Word, the Word, the Word, right? And what this does is it enables you to be protected. And to not only be protected, but to be able to have an offensive weapon. Without the Word, none of this armor will be on you. All of it has to do with the Word. Keep reading. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The big word you need to know about everything the enemy comes and says and does is resist. You resist it. Resist it. Resist it. Resist it. Get behind me.
Amen.
Huh? No. I refuse to. I will not. No. Resist, resist, resist. When it comes to the enemy, resist. Stand against. Keep reading, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Didn't the scripture say, resist the devil and he will flee from you? What if you don't resist him? He will stay. I said, he will stay and keep lying to you. And if you listen to it enough, you'll become confused and deceived. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what?
Withstand,
which is the same thing as saying stand against, in the evil day, and having done all, to do what?
Stand.
Stand or stand against. Resist. Anytime the scripture says something this many times, it's because you'll be tempted to get worn down or to be tricked and to stop yielding, stop resisting it and yield to it. And that's when you get in trouble. Verse 14, stand therefore, or stand against it, having your loins girt about with truth. Hallelujah. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. You wouldn't even know about righteousness if it wasn't for the word of truth. And they fastened the breastplate to the belt of truth. And the other pieces, you know, your sword is fastened to the belt of truth. And keep going. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Every one of these is protection. The enemy will lie to you and say, you are nothing. You are stupid. You are a sinner. You are a failure. You are a nothing. And if you don't have some protection on, that fiery dart will hit you and go into you, and you'll be condemned and agree with the devil. Yeah, ain't much to me. Yeah, I'm a sorry poor excuse for a Christian. I know it. I'm just an old sinner. Hope maybe saved for grace. I hope I make it. Well, see, you got no protection. The devil's lies pierced you and went into you, and you're living with condemnation. But if you'll fasten on, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And the devil goes, you are stupid and useless. It goes, bing. You are nothing. You are a failure. Bing. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. It was given to me. The Lord Jesus said, here, you need this. You need this. Let me give you my righteousness. Now put it on. Put it on. Then you go, okay, all right, I'm going to put it on. What have I got on? Righteousness protects you from condemnation, shame, guilt, fear. Oh, come on. Can you see this? Whew. That's why he keeps saying, put it on. Put it on. Put it on. Keep going. Keep reading. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, you know, you can't run through the briar patch and over the rocks and fight and everything barefooted.
No.
Right? Right? And those feet shod a lot of times would come with a shin guard and everything too. But this is protection.
Yes.
The gospel is protection.
Yes.
Peace is protection.
Wow. Yes.
If you got your gospel peace on, you won't be depressed.
Amen.
Huh? You won't be hopeless. You won't be distracted. You have the peace. that passes understanding, and you're wearing the good news shoes. Huh? Now, them's some good-looking shoes. Good news. Good news shoes. Why? Because everywhere you go, you got good news to tell somebody. Everywhere you go, you need to show them your shoes. You go, hey, good news, good news, good news. Verse 16. Above all, don't leave home without it. Above all, what? Taking the shield of faith. Why? What do you do with the shield of faith? What do you do? Wherewith, in other words, with the shield of faith, you will be able to do what? Here comes an error. There is no way. It's impossible. Huh? There is no way. It's impossible. Can't be done. Can't happen. If you got no protection, it'll pierce you. Or pierce you somewhere. And if you listen to it and don't resist it, you'll go, I guess there's no way. Not for me. Not who I am. Not where I'm from. The devil always give you all these reasons where you don't have enough education. You didn't do well enough in school. You don't have any financial contacts. You don't know anybody. Huh? You're this, you're that. You're not this, you're not that. Impossible. Impossible. No way. Oh, but if you left home dressed. If you left home ready. Here comes this dart flying in about how impossible and crazy is and it can't happen. And you just go, whoom, boing, it bounces off. And you say, you see that right there? You see what that says? That says, all things are possible to him that believes. And I believe. The shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. A dart also can be described, an arrow is a dart. A spear is a dart. A missile is a dart. That's the technical description, definition of it. And they're on fire. They're fiery. On fire from hell. James talks about this. This stuff will burn you if you let it. It will hurt you. It'll rob you of your faith. It'll deceive you. It'll trick you. I know it's not a nice thing to think, but every day of your life, you have an enemy arrayed against you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to deceive you, confuse you, separate you from anything good, destroy you. He doesn't come unless he's coming to steal something or kill something or destroy something, and you do not need to launch out unprepared in your underwear.
That's right.
No, not gonna happen. Huh? You better suit up. Come here, are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's saying? Put on the whole arm. You better suit up. What is that? With your words and with your faith, keep reminding yourself every day. What? Truth. Every day. Every day. Truth. Truth. Nobody ever got too much truth. Huh? Truth. I mean, every day of my life, I'm asking the Lord, show me some more. Right? Show me some more. Some more light of your words. Some more truth. The truth will do what for you? It will make you free. And you keep reminding yourself, I'm not going to yield to condemnation and shame and guilt. Yeah, I've made plenty of mistakes, but the blood of the Lamb is more powerful than any sin or mistake that I've made. And you either clean or you're not.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And His righteousness is either enough or it's not.
Right.
It is.
It is.
I said it is.
It is.
And it's mine.
It's mine.
It's mine. The truth is mine. The gospel is mine. Righteousness is mine. Faith is mine. Keep reading. Hallelujah. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. What is that? Another verse calls it the hope of salvation. Are you saved?
Yes.
Or are you lost?
Saved.
What does the helmet do? Protects your head. That's where your little brain is, your little mind. Is that right? Huh? One of the big things that'll help you always look, and Phyllis is talking about the woman that got delivered from grief, because she acted on that. The Lord gave me three words for when brother before him, though, Mylon. When brother Mylon went home, he gave me these words for Christy, his wife as well, and then brother Jerry. FTD were the initials. I remember it because it's like the flower, you think. FTD, focus. Focus. You can focus on how you feel. They're not with you. I miss them. And you're going to grieve. Or you could focus on where they are. Right? And what's actually going on with them. And how you didn't lose them. Y'all are just separated for a little while. You'll soon see them. Hallelujah. And focus. Somebody say focus. Focus. Then the other one was Thanksgiving. You know, we should know we're not all going to live down here forever. You want to be thankful for the time that you had with them. It's a gift. And then dedication. You don't want to just twiddle your thumbs waiting for something to happen. Find out what you're supposed to be doing with the rest of your life. You don't have much of it left. Get busy. Dedicate yourself to finding and fulfilling His call for you. You get busy doing that, you'll look up and you'll be done too. Time will pass. And you sit around feeling sorry for yourself, it will drag on and it will get worse and worse and worse. But whatever you focus on, the Bible said to be spiritually minded, carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Put this back up then, please. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, you need to remind yourself continually. He talked about the hope of salvation. Well, one of the biggest parts of the hope of salvation is what happens past this life.
Amen.
And if you keep your focus, didn't the Scripture say in Colossians, if you're risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This, what we're doing right now, is the briefest, shortest thing we will ever do.
Amen.
We will all soon be out of here, one way or the other. And so, having on the helmet of salvation, you don't get caught up in the fantasy of this is all there is. You're able to keep reminding yourself, I'm saved. I'm part of the family of God. My name is in the Lamb's book of life. I am on my way to glory. They're working on my mansion right now. Is that right? Salvation. I'm saved. And saved is the word sozo. It's the big word of the New Testament. Saved from what? Not just saved from hell. I'm saved. Though that'd be enough. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved from judgment. I'm saved from condemnation. I am saved from punishment. I'm saved from sickness. I'm saved from depression and mental anxiety. I'm saved from poverty. I'm saved from all the curse of the law. You keep that on your head all the time. It will protect you from being confused and deceived and all those things. And then he said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, all these other are primarily defensive. But with the sword of the Spirit, you can hurt the devil. You can hurt him. And you can hurt his workers, his cohorts, and his things. I mean, when God gives you a word from him and it's anointed and you speak it and proclaim it, amen. Oh, brother, amen. Things have to move. And that was all the introduction. Because our text is the next verse. Praying. Can you see this? Praying. Praying. Is all let's go together. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Right? Gird with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. Now you're all dressed up. Now what? Now what? Pray. Now you're ready to do kingdom business. You are ready, even though you're on the earth where the curse and death and the enemy is. You are ready to work with heaven to accomplish his will and his plan in the earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And notice how he says it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This, I think, is our text for our next series. And But you can see that this passage starts in verse 10.
Right? Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Leading up to this. And let me read this to you from another translation. The God's Word translation says in verse 18, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. Now, the name of the series is All Kinds of Prayer. All Kinds of Prayer. And this is something my father in the faith taught many times back in years past, Brother Kenneth Hagin Sr. He used to have every year a prayer seminar at their place. And one of the things he would do is teach us about the different kinds of prayer. And that's what this verse is referring to. All kinds, every kind of prayer. And he, so obviously there's more than one kind.
Right.
If you know, we use the scripture in Timothy on prayer night, talking about that the Lord wants us to pray. And among that, he talks about prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving a thing. See, he's naming off some different kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of agreement. There's a prayer of consecration and dedication and submission. There's a prayer of intercession. We're saying there are different kinds of prayer. And so Brother Hagin would say, people would say, well, isn't prayer prayer? He said, yeah, and sports is sports. He said, but you don't play football with baseball rules.
Amen.
Right? Or with tennis rules. And I think the Lord gave him that illustration. Because that's exactly right. Yeah, prayer is prayer. But you don't, you know, when you talk about the prayer of faith, for instance, that's not a prayer you pray over and over again. You need to believe you receive it. Right? And you need to believe God's heard your prayer and granted your request. But then other prayers, you do pray repeatedly. You don't pray every prayer exactly like you do the prayer of faith. You don't pray the prayer of faith with an "if it be thy will." You got to find out the will of God before you're able to pray the prayer of faith. And yet Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. Why? That wasn't a prayer of faith. It was a prayer of consecration, of submission. It was a prayer of submission and dedication. So how many think there's more we could learn about the different kinds of prayer and praying? He said, I'm going to read the NIV now. He said, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints or all the Lord's people. That's maybe I got the new NIV. But notice he said, pray in the Spirit. And you begin to see that's the only way you could pray for all the Lord's people. Right? You don't know all the Lord's people. You certainly don't know everything that's going on with everybody. He's talking about praying on a scale that's beyond your intellect. Beyond what you know with your mind. And he calls it praying in the Spirit. Everybody say in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer. Now, we're just introducing this today. Can you come back? Good. go with me to 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll introduce this a little bit more before we wind up today. But what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? That is a significant question. We want to spend some time, not just today, but perhaps next time, talk about it some more. But it's something that there's a lot of lack of knowledge and understanding about it. And part of the revelation is knowing what a human being is. In fact, just put on the screen for us, if you would, 1 Thessalonians. You're going to 1 Corinthians 14. They'll put this on the screen for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are not just mind and body. We are spirit, soul, and body. And one of the most obvious things, is sometimes it'll help you to define what something is by a process of elimination, what it's not. Well, the contrast is made, but that the spirit is not the body. It's not the flesh. And also, the spirit is contrasted with the understanding, that it's not the mentality.
Right.
And so, Brother Hagin would say, talking about this, he'd say, people would say, well, he would ask. He said, in his early days, he was not around, he said, Pentecostal people, and none of them spoke in tongues. And so, you know, when they'd read these phrases about in the Spirit, or praying in the Spirit, or speaking in the Spirit, he'd ask different ones of his elders, what does that mean? And he said, one person said, well, it just means praying with more vim and vigor in the Spirit. Does it? Where's that at? What they're talking about, it means praying with intensity. Right? Intensity. Pray hard in the Spirit. Is that right? Is that what it means? It's got to be more than somebody's opinion. I said it's got to be more than somebody's opinion. Do not just accept somebody's random definition. Where is it at? Right? And if it's really in the Word, you'll find it in multiple places. Two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. Well, what does it mean in the Spirit? He said, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Go to Hebrews, or you know, just keep your place there in 1 Corinthians, but put up on the screen for us Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. It says the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now here's something that you'll find people use these terms interchangeably. Spirit and soul. Like they are the same thing. But they're not the same words in the scriptures. And here you, verses like this show they can be divided or separated. Well, if they can be separated, how are they the same thing? The Word of God is capable of dividing soul and spirit. And I believe this next phrase is a picture of what he just said. Of joints and marrow. I believe joint and marrow is a picture of spirit and soul. They are a unit. They work together, but they're not the same. Marrow is the inside of the bone or the joint. And they are as close as you can get, connected, right? But they are not the same. And apparently, the soul would compare to the joint or the outer part of the inner man, and the marrow would compare to the spirit. The spirit is the inside. Now, for years now, I have believed God and continue to believe God for revelation about this. Amen. Would you believe with me?
Yes.
I'm thankful for what we have, but I just for years I've known there's more. There's more. There's way, way more. Would you, how about praying that prayer with me? Would you agree with me? Say it out loud.
Father God,
reveal to us
understanding
of what human beings are. What the spirit is.
What the
soul is.
What the mind
is. What the heart is.
What is the inner man?
We ask for it.
Light.
Understanding.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now one reason I'm talking about it is because if you're supposed to pray in the spirit, or you'll find another phrase in 1 Corinthians 14 is with the Spirit. If you don't even know what the Spirit is,
right,
or what you are, you're going to be at a disadvantage.
Yes.
But do you believe that you and I can get more light and,
yes,
and we can grow? And
yes,
the Lord's not going to tell you to do something and know you couldn't even figure out how to do it.
Right?
Right? It's the enemy that tries to keep us in the dark. Not God. So the Christian Standard Bible for Hebrews 4:12 says, Christian Standard says, the Word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Thoughts and intentions are not the same thing. Huh? Marrow and joint is not the same thing. Spirit and soul is not the same thing. But not just anything can distinguish them. The Word of God can. The Word of God can. Good News Translation says it like this. Good News Translation says, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. So you're in faith with me, right? You're in faith with me. We're going to get light. We're going to get more revelation about what we are. Now, the Bible said, Jesus said in John 4, God is a spirit. Some translations don't use the article. They just say God is spirit. And he said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, one of the main things you know is that spirit is not flesh. So what he's distinguishing is praying in the flesh versus praying in the spirit. And we talked about this in the previous series about how that man, you know, that was he Pharisee, I guess, that came and prayed in the temple and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. God, probably said G-A-W-D, God, I tithe, I fast. And he looked down and there's this publican. He said, and I'm not like this publican, you know. And the scripture says he prayed thus with himself. God was not even in the conversation. He's praying. Is he praying in the spirit? Nah, he's praying in the flesh. And it is meaningless and completely vain. And remember, the Lord warned us. We talked about that in Matthew 6. Don't pray to be seen of men. It amounts to nothing. And then he said, don't pray vain repetitions. So that in those cases, people wouldn't be praying in the spirit. They're praying physical religious ritual. Well, do we want to know how to do what God told us to do?
Yes.
Pray in the spirit.
Yes.
With all kinds of prayers.
Yes.
Can you get a glimpse of being effective?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praying the right way, the right kind of prayer, right situation, something God can work with.
Amen.
Right? Something he can hear and answer and be a part of. Glory to God. Working with heaven on the earth. God's will being accomplished in the earth connected to your praying. 1 Corinthians 14. We'll close with this. Oh man, this is a whole series in this chapter right here. It is big, isn't it? Well, God's big. But it is so good. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. We're talking about identifying what the Spirit is by seeing what it's not. We've already said it's not the flesh. Spirit is not flesh.
Amen.
It's not physical. It's not material. Now see, that's, you got to wrap your head around another dimension besides what you can contact here. There's another dimension.
Yes.
It's spirit. And it's not something that's foreign to you. You is one.
Amen.
You are a spirit.
Yes, we are.
Right now. You're looking at me through those two windows we call eyes.
That's right.
I see the house you live in.
That's right.
That's not you.
Amen.
You're inside there.
Amen.
And when this house quits working and dies, you will still exist.
Amen.
And you will still be you.
Right.
In the body or out of the body, you are still you. You still exist.
Amen.
Amen.
And it helps you to relax.
Right.
Amen.
When you realize, I'm going to be around forever.
Forever.
It helps you to go, whew,
yeah.
I can chill.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
sir. I can relax. This life is not all there is.
No.
Not even close. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue. This, now, unknown is a descriptor, but doesn't mean nobody knows it. It means the speaker doesn't know it. doesn't speak to men but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. Everybody say in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
He speaks what?
Mysteries.
Mysteries. Things your head didn't know. Things their head didn't know. Things God knows. How can you pray about something you don't know? Something that's a total mystery to your understanding. If you had to explain it, you couldn't begin to. You can do it in the Spirit. You can pray about it in the Spirit. And part of praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's not all there is. You can pray in the Spirit in prophecy. There's other things to consider. But it's not flesh. Now, if you skip to verse 13, let him that speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, unknown is unknown to the speaker, what's happening? What's happening? Not my flesh. My spirit. Your spirit is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you. But it's your spirit speaking. My spirit is praying. But what else? My understanding is unfruitful. So that proves spirit is not the same as understanding. Spirit's a different thing from mental. So no, praying in the Spirit is not praying with greater intensity. Because that's still with your understanding. Right? You still understand what you're praying and saying. This is something else. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also, which means you can initiate praying with the Spirit just like you can with your understanding. You don't have to wait till the Spirit moves on you in some special way and you get caught up in a spiritual ecstasy. No. If I can say, can I say, I will kneel down here and pray with my understanding? Yes. Can I do that?
Yes.
He said, I'll do the same thing with my spirit.
Amen.
Didn't he say that?
Yes.
I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Then he says, and I sing too.
All right.
I will sing with the Spirit.
Yes.
And even if your head knows none of the words.
That's right.
And I will sing with the understanding also. And he just got through saying, pray that you can interpret.
Amen.
So there could be times that you prayed or sang with the Spirit and you interpreted part of what you were singing or praying with your understanding.
Amen.
This is for every believer. Every believer,
amen.
Do not accept something else. Don't let somebody rob you through wrong thinking.
Right.
This is available to everybody. Praying with the Spirit, praying with the understanding. Can you say amen? Verse 16, else when you will bless with the Spirit. This involves, he's talking about praying, he's talking about singing. Now he's talking about blessing and giving thanks with the Spirit. How shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at your giving of thanks? See, that's the kind of blessing he was talking about. Seeing he understands not what you say. Because you blessed with the Spirit, not the understanding. And so people that heard it didn't have a clue what you said. But, verse 17, For you verily give us thanks well. When you blessed with the Spirit by faith and nobody understood it, you did a good job.
Amen.
Giving thanks.
Right.
You gave thanks well. The problem is, nobody else understood what you said, and so it didn't edify them and didn't benefit them. So what's the solution? Keep going. Paul says, now listen to this. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, he's having to correct them about speaking in tongues at the wrong place and the wrong time, and he interjects and he says, now having said that, I want you to know I pray in tongues more than all of y'all. Well, if he did, he must have got up praying in tongues and prayed in tongues at lunchtime. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Verse 19, yet in the church I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. What? That they didn't understand. That's why I don't preach to you in other tongues. It's a fact. But I do speak in tongues. A lot. A lot. It's part of how I get what to preach. Y'all with me? Do you need to speak in tongues? You do. Don't just discount this. No, so if you say, well, I've been prayed for before and it didn't happen, well, that just means for some reason you didn't receive. Doesn't mean it's not for you.
That's right.
It is for you.
That's right.
You hang around here very long, you will be.
Yes.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yes.
It's for you. But it's a matter of believing it. It's a matter of receiving. And it's a matter of yielding. The Lord won't make you do something. It's a matter of yielding. I am a spirit being. I have a mind and understanding. I live in a body. I'm not just a body. And I'm not just a brain. And I'm not just a mind. God is spirit. Hallelujah. His angels are spirit. His Holy Spirit is obviously spirit. And His Spirit dwells in the inner man of the believer, and His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. See, there's communication going on spirit to spirit internally that bypasses the intellect. Now, it can illuminate the understanding, but it is not dependent on the understanding and surpasses the understanding. Thank God.
Amen.
If we were limited to what we know and understand, we would be severely limited. Too limited. But God has given us a means whereby we can pray out mysteries, whereby we can pray out the perfect will of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whereby we can pray all kinds of prayers for all the saints. For the whole church, for the body of Christ, whereby we can sing in the Spirit, whereby we can give thanks well. Hallelujah. And it's not either or. We do both.
Amen.
Right? With the Spirit and with the understanding also. Hallelujah. Stand up with me if you would. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thanks be to God.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.